Hey everyone, this is Joe, and before we get into this episode of Chitty Chats, I wanted to come in at the beginning and just inform you guys of what you'll hear in this episode. We recorded this one with Jordan from the DC Squadcast on the weekend of May 29th, 30th, and 31st. That's the same weekend where all the protests around the world, well, around America, happened. One actually happened every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in Ron and I's hometown, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And Ron was at those protests, and he's going to talk a little bit about that later on in the episode. But I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that both Ron and I, and obviously you guys have heard this numerous times on other podcasts, but it needs to be said, Black Lives Matter. We support Black lives. You know, it's nowadays it's stupid that that is an issue, that the fact that racism is still a thing. So this is a good time to, you know, listen to the stories, listen to the history, and just find out and not just be racist. Like, being racist is fucking stupid. I don't get it. So yeah, like I said, I just want to give you guys a heads up what the hot topic is we're going to be talking about, because obviously you can't get away from it. And that's really it. Just go support, you know, Black owned businesses, go support, just, you know, Black lives. Like, it's listen to their stories, listen to what's going on, listen to their lives, just show them that you care, show them that you, you know, stand with them. And you know, this is coming out on, you know, June, what was it, like 16th, I think. It's big that the world changes, and the world is changing, you know, so just everybody just needs to open up their hearts and just understand that you're not, just because you sit in a spot where you have privilege or nothing doesn't touch you, nothing happens to you, doesn't mean your neighbor is going through the same issues or having the same privileges handed to them. You know, they're going through something completely different, and all because of color of the skin, and it's stupid. So, big thing, Black Lives Matters, guys. I can't stress that enough. I know I'm just one voice in the multitude of all voices right now, but this needs, it's important, it's changing history, and you really need to be on the right side of history. Our country was built on protests and riots. Like, that's how things change, and things are changing. And which side do you want to be on? Hopefully it's the right side. All right. Enjoy this episode, guys.
Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Well, we just got done. It's funny, me and my fiance just got done watching Ocarina of Time walkthrough. We've been doing the old N64 games because I don't have the console, so I'm
what
like,
"What do you need a walkthrough for?"
Oh my, well, just to watch it, man, honestly, it's so, man, much fun, like, not have to worry about figuring out all the temples, to be honest with you, while you're sitting there, you're like,
you're talking to two I'm not gonna say classic, but we love the Zelda games. We've played all of them. I actually have all of them, mainly on, I don't know which system, but one of my systems, I have like majority of them. I love those games. Like, that is dived into my love of puzzle games. So
that's awesome. Yeah, we just finished Ocarina of Time because I was trying to show her all the stuff from my childhood. Like we went through GoldenEye, we went through Ocarina of Time, and we went through Super Mario 64.
Nice.
And so since we're on Zelda, we're gonna go to another one, and I've never seen. Is it Breath of the Wild?
Oh yeah,
yes,
it's fantastic.
Is that like a direct sequel to Ocarina?
No, the direct sequel is Majora's Mask on 64.
Right. Okay, that's when he goes back when he's a kid and he's got to do the moon thing and the moon's coming out. Yeah,
that's one of my favorite games. I don't know why that one. I loved that game when I was younger and still love it to this day.
Man, it used to piss me off though.
Well, maybe it's a time thing. I just love time crap. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, Breath of the Wild is for, they had it on the Switch. Wii U, but it was a launch title for the Switch.
Gotcha.
Story wise, they have like all of these timelines for it. And I think it's like a couple thousand years down the road. I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember.
Well,
it changes every 5 years when Kojima.
I'd say the canonic storyline for Zelda has so many splits and variations from it because certain games can only exist because this game existed, but then certain other games came from this whole different timeline where nothing else existed. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
go ahead, George.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you can go ahead.
We just watched like a whole 20 minute YouTube video of like the timeline, and it like got to a certain point and it's like goes to Ocarina and it's like, okay, so after Ocarina, it can go to like this timeline, or it can go to this timeline, or it can go to this timeline.
Yep, that's when it splinters. Yep.
I was like, holy shit, this is fucking crazy. It's so important, I thought.
Wonderful. I think there was, I can't remember what year it was, but there was a year where I'm like, I'm going to play every single game, go beat them all and play them all through. I think I skipped over 2 because that one still sucks. But I did play all the rest of them. Like Wind Waker was amazing. Hey. I really love that one for the GameCube.
That's awesome.
I'm waiting on them to do a N64 Classic Edition. If they do, because I got the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic. But
that's awesome.
I don't know.
Once they get into the NES, though, they're not going to be able to make a mini classic because they're going to have so much memory on it for the games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like we're talking about going from games that were mostly two-dimensional or three-dimensional that was not really to an actual like open world where you can full rotation and
yeah
that's a lot more than you can fit on a little box.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, but then you only have like 10 games on it with the classic, Mario 64 and Zelda. And was there Metroid on 64? I don't think there was.
I don't know. But they better have Smash.
Well, yeah, Smash Brothers. But no, I think they skipped 64 for Metroid. I think it went right to the GameCube for the next release. I honestly don't remember. That's years ago, and I don't feel like looking it up.
As long as they don't add the Castlevania to it for the 64, it'll be fine.
Look, I just want it.
Oh, man.
That was a shit show.
I still have to watch that show. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, the show on Netflix is fantastic. But the Nintendo 64 game itself was horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard great things about the Netflix series. I haven't had the chance to watch it yet, but I've heard great things.
It's fantastic.
Eventually, I'll get to it down the road. So, welcome, guys, to another episode of Chitty Chats.
As we're 5 minutes into recording.
Hey, that's the best part of Chitty Chats. I can record whenever, and the minute he started talking about Zelda, I'm like, record. This is going to be great.
Record.
No, I saw him move for it when he...
started talking. Yeah. So this is just like the other Chitty Chats. We just sit around, talk for... half hour, 45 minutes, if not longer. Depends on how good the conversation is going. Jordan, welcome. Yeah. You are a co-host of the DC Comic Squadcast.
I am. Surprisingly, I did not think that like I would have any sort of I don't know. I thought I would just be yelling in an echo chamber. Like, you know, once I heard around BVS, once that time started coming around, I'm like, I just feel like I'm yelling into this fucking echo chamber. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse or not.
No, you can.
I keep it to a minimum.
You've heard our show.
If we weren't allowed to cuss, Joey would have to cut me out half the time. So.
Yes, Ron cut me constantly.
I just felt like I was yelling into this echo chamber, and so I listened to Tim and Scott's show at the time, which was Suicide Squadcast, which is now DC Film Squadcast, and I just started following those guys on Twitter, and then. One day I saw Tim post something about you guys want to be anybody want to do a podcast. And I was like, I've been looking at getting into podcasting for a while. I was either thinking about doing a baseball podcast because love baseball or comic books was a thing that I was just getting back into heavily or music. So it was either going to go one of those three ways. And then he originally asked me if I wanted to do the DC CW shows. And at that time, I'd only been watching Arrow a little bit and I wasn't as into it as most other people were. And I just told him, I was like, look, I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't know if I'm kind of the person you're looking for. I'm not really huge into TV or anything like that. So, you know, I appreciate you, you know, at least talking to me for a second. So thank you. And I'll talk to you later. And he's like, do you read the comics? And I was like, yeah, I collect the weekly. And he's like, okay, perfect. And so he like kind of filtered through like 10 people and he found me and Chris. And he's like, okay, so I think you two have really good personalities that'll mesh well together. So let's try and do that and see what happens. And then the first recording was a shit show. And just that, like, we had no idea what we were doing. We had no idea which way we wanted to go, like how
that
we wanted to
familiar.
Do an intro. Yeah. It was just, oh my God, how to do an, what do we do for an intro? Who's making the music for it? Who's doing what? And then like Bill, obviously take some time for Chris and I to build our relationship through the show, but it's crazy to think now, man, like we just recorded 183 and 184 yesterday. Nice. And, if I was going to have a normal, we were supposed to get married this summer, but obviously due to the Rona, that's
kind
of like
pushed back.
Yeah. Kind of changed quite a bit. Chris was actually going to be one of my groomsmen. It's crazy to think that like 3 years ago, this dude I never would have met that lives in Louisiana would be coming up to Pittsburgh for my wedding. And he's going to be in my wedding, you know? So,
We just had Chris on our last recording. We recovered Something Is Killing the Children, which it's amazing. I didn't count right because I thought that when we recorded our Silver Surfer, which will be coming up on the main feed, we were going to hit episode 300 somewhere in there. I miscounted, and our episode 300 was actually the issue 5 of Something Is Killing the Children.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hasn't come out yet by the time this episode comes out. It's actually the next story arc. One of the bad things about planning everything ahead and making sure everything works.
Lines up.
Yeah, I have to like with us recording early, I have to actually make sure I'm saying the right things at the right time.
So, right. That's awesome,
yeah,
man.
This is what's going on. But yeah. Like I said, we had Chris on, and he was awesome. He was an amazing guest. We did the Chili Chats, which by this time this one comes out, that episode's came out. I found you guys years ago. It was after one of the other I can't remember the weekly podcast it was, but they were covering the New 52 constantly every week. And I love that show. And so when they ended, when Rebirth started, I'm like, well, now what? I think I found you guys about 30 episodes in. You guys had like, so roughly about half a year into you guys is doing podcast. And those first, I will admit, those first couple episodes where you guys are doing the spotlight, trying to catch up, they were fun.
They're like, I don't even go back and listen to them. I tell people all the time, I'm like, hey, if you guys want to listen to the catalog, go to the website. It'll be fine from there. But, I mean, I feel like I would be really interested to see what everybody's first episode sounds like, just to sort of see how people get their footing. And, you know, I still have yet to hear, I have not even heard the lost episode. So the lost episode you hear Tim and Scott talk about, we have not even heard it. So, that's nice. Something that I definitely would like to get to at some point, but it's just crazy. To be honest with you, man, we didn't really find our rhythm, I would say, until 65, 70 episodes in. And it's a long time, but we just finally found like the right balance between reading the stories, summarizing the stories, and then having good communication based on the different books. So yeah. Like it's a long time to be like, okay, what's what here? What's, oh, there you go.
Mr. Frank Cooking podcast.
Right. So it took us a long time to really find our footing, but once we did, man, it just, ever since then, we feel like we just know how to get into it. We know where the conversation, like where we can go. We're also more comfortable with one another. So if we like disagree, you're not afraid to like start. It's not like that we argue. I don't think Chris and I have ever really argued. I mean, we've had disagreements, but aside from that, I mean, we've never really gotten aggravated.
Nothing I've seen on the show, so nothing that has not been edited out, I should say.
No, see, and honestly, go ahead.
Before Joey and I started, we'd known each other long enough where we got all of our spats out in the early part of our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I mean, we're best friends. We've went to the same school together, so yeah, that benefits having a co-host or a partner in the podcast that you can play off of and you've played off of well.
But just like, call me your partner. That's so sweet.
Shut up. How long did it take me to call you my co-host? But yeah, like the chemistry you and Chris have, it shows how passionate you guys are for the product that you're viewing. Like you said, it took you 60 some episodes until you guys got a swing of your mannerisms and how everything plays out. It shows like you guys mesh well together, and yeah, you're from different areas of the world, of course, well, of the United States, of course, but
yeah,
I mean, hell, I remember one of my podcasts I listened to early on was a Star Wars podcast, and same thing. We list my girlfriend and I, Emily, we list to them. We talked to them on the internet. When The Force Awakens came out, we went down to Alabama and watched the movie with them, like the opening weekend. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Sometimes it and their relationships work.
Yeah.
And then you have like my, you know, I'm not gonna say that part. Never mind.
Oh, hey, look, you can cut it out later, but you got to tell us now that you started.
I don't have to. I can do whatever I want.
Fucking do it.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I'll give you a cookie.
Yeah, right.
I'll have one of Emily's cookies.
Would you do it for two cookies?
Maybe. That just reminds me. We just watched Scoob again.
Oh, look at him changing the subject.
There you go.
That's what I did.
How was Scoob?
I enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as, like, the original, of course, but they're more mystical. It did remind me of the Scooby-Doo movie, the live-action movie, a little bit. Okay. Obviously, not live-action. But yeah, no, it was cute. It's really good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, it seemed like it would be pretty, like a pretty fun watch. So
yeah,
ton
of Hanna-Barbera references. Oh yeah. Left and right. It was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, Chris and I, this is going to be the first time that him and I have ever met in person, was when he was coming up for the wedding. But now that that's, I don't know what's going to happen with that, if he's still coming up or not. But if not, you bet your ass we're going to be getting together for Zack Snyder's Justice League on HBO Max in one way or another. So we've always talked about it. We're like, hey, if we don't get together before this thing comes out, when this thing comes out, we will find a way. So either I'll make a trip down to Shreveport or he'll come on up. So I'm down for either. I've never been to Louisiana, so I would love to go. So that's going to be it's going to be a good time, man. I just like, not even just that related, but just what a fun time to be a geek right now, man. It really is. Like we say it all the time, and it's just like, finally, everybody's kind of come out of the woodworks and we're finding each other and we're gravitating to all these different little networks. And, you know, that's great. And I love it.
One of the good things about social media is you can actually connect with other nerds and geeks and, you know, over a product that you like.
Right.
I, Eric from Legendary Bearded Geek just found out that he is Whovian, loves Doctor Who. And so he had no idea that I was, and I was texting him through Twitter, talking to him, and brought up a couple things about Doctor Who. And I'm just naming off random stuff here and there, and he's just like, "You're Whovian? What?" Which, by the way,
man.
It's wonderful. I know Ronald over here is definitely not a fan of he's a Marvel fan of the group. He
no biggie.
Well, he just he gives me crap for liking the DC movies.
Okay, look, I wouldn't give you crap for liking the DC movies if they were good.
Oh man,
here we go.
We're going there.
This is a hill I will die on.
Hey, like I tell everybody, man, what you like, you are entitled to like. And if you have reasonable explanations as to why you don't like them, then so be it. That's totally your opinion, man. Go for it. I'm not gonna...
Joey agrees with me on the reasons why I don't like it.
Okay, so BBS, I will admit, there are problems. It's still a good movie.
wait, which one?
BBS. The three-hour one I made you watch.
Bad butt sex. Gotcha.
Yeah, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
Okay, Batman versus Superman. Had a horrible storyline.
Okay, so...
In your opinion.
Yeah, oh yeah. In my opinion, and in the opinion of people that, you know, understand how stories work.
No, shut up.
And then you've got...
doing it here now. We'll do it live, huh?
The Justice League movie?
Okay, fuck Justice
League.
That was
a shit show.
Yes, I agree with that.
Like,
we're getting the true one coming here soon.
I liked Aquaman, and I liked Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I did like both of those. Okay. There are good reasons for liking Wonder Woman other than, you know, Gal Gadot. Okay. But it was a pretty good movie. And it had, you know, there was actually a storyline to it where it was set up where it wasn't like, by the way, we need to throw in some stupid shit, some funny shit, and then make everything work all at the same time. And then none of it worked out.
Which is,
so that's not how the Marvel movies work.
Yeah, except they actually had a storyline just... along with it.
Oh.
But and then you've got Suicide Squad. Which was
So I know you're not on Twitter, Ron.
Correct. But
there have been Yeah, exactly.
It's just I would feel you I feel like would it'd be you and Ray from our network would just have a field day worth of
making
chat.
Fun of
so No, I mean insofar as him defending it and you not so much defending, so I think you guys would get along well in that regard. But yeah, no, hey man, like if you don't, again, I try not to behoove people for liking what you don't like, and so like, even similar if I relate it back to sports, like just because I'm a Yankees fan, do I automatically hate Boston Red Sox fans? I did when I was little, but now that I got as I got older and learned to appreciate what the rivalry meant for the game. And insofar, like, I don't like the Red Sox, but I don't hate them with a passion. I think that organization is, like, the rivalry that they have and all the other stuff is good for the greater good of baseball. And I think that the rivalry that Marvel has with DC is good for the greater good of comic books. Whether or not they're all well executed is to be debated upon.
And my only problem was, like, I mean, I liked, for the most part, I've liked the shows they have on CW.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do get a little tedious after a while, but that's every kind of superhero show you ever have, really, as far as, like, platform like that goes. Because, like, they have to have, it's got to be like, okay, now, if somebody's just coming in to watch this episode, they've never seen one before, we need to, you know, explain everything to them, but also they need to be able to understand it. But also we need to, you know, have the storyline going for the people that have been watching it the whole time. So then you end up with this formula of, you know, this happens, they explain this happens, then, you know, this happens, and then you have the end of the show. They didn't have that, like, when they did the Marvel stuff on Netflix, which... I am so glad they did them on Netflix because it was able to be a straight through story arc. It was like reading a fucking comic book. as far as like their story went, because they didn't have to do the, you know, pandering to people that had never seen it before, because hey, guess what? On Netflix, if you've never seen it before, go watch the fucking episode before it, you know?
Well, they didn't have that problem. They kept the series to like 10 to 13 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Versus
24 or whatever.
Yeah, where you have to.
It's all convoluted.
Yeah.
And then you have the obligatory, you know, Halloween episode, the obligatory Christmas episode, you know,
yeah,
shit like that.
Well, and like their Christmas episodes, especially for CW, their Christmas episodes became the crossover episodes,
which were fun. They were a lot of fun.
Like this past one with the Christ on Infinite Earth.
La 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 la. Oh wait, I can't plug my.
You still haven't listened to that one yet? Or watched that one yet?
I haven't. Oh,
the shows aren't. Okay. Yeah, they now got on Netflix.
I say the season's 5 just dropped on Netflix for a couple of them. And
I loved it. Amazing. I'll just leave it at that.
But like we didn't. They tried too fast for me for the DC ones. Like I don't have a lot of background in DC, so the movies would have been great for me because I don't have the background knowledge of the comics that much, other than what I get from, you know, Mr. Beard over there. And but they dropped the ball hard. And I know that you said it's because they cut out a lot of shit from the Batman versus Superman.
Well, that, but it's it was WB being like, Marvel's doing this. We need to catch up to them. Snyder, you need to put this in there. You need to put this in there.
And
he tried to appease them.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that's they were trying to do too much at one time.
Yeah.
And then it also kind of they could have worked in the CW shows with the movies and did like, you know, made their whole line more cohesive-ish.
Watch Crisis.
Yeah.
All I can say is watch Crisis.
Say, I'll throw in there. I agree with that sentiment. If you don't have an overall knowledge of DC, I feel like heading into the different movies. Apologies for the. Obviously, we have a highway that comes across here. All the emergency vehicles go down. So,
no, you're good. This is cheer chat. It's fine.
Sirens. Yeah. And it would have been fine because, you know, yesterday, if we would have recorded yesterday,
oh, God, man.
I would have had, you would have been able to hear it the whole time we were recording here.
Yeah. So we're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Obviously, you're in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have protests as well?
We did not have protests.
Okay.
And at least not out near me. We're about 12 minutes outside of the city proper.
Okay.
No, we have not had protests yet.
I live four blocks away from where they were protesting.
Yeah, so it was crazy.
I went out on Friday night and I got tear gassed.
Oh my gosh, man.
But dude, they like, okay, literally everybody's standing there with signs, chanting, protesting. They just randomly start shooting shit into the crowd. The cops shot out one of the windows in the city hall building right there, or the courthouse. And they're trying to blame that on the protesters. And then so like it got to the point where at one point in time, this is before I got there, they were shooting the rubber bullets at people. But then they were tear gassing the whole crowd. And they were just tear gassing the people that were protesting. There were people that were stuck in traffic in their cars with kids. You know, from car seat level to pregnant women to, you know, and they were shooting tear gas out into that area where those people were stuck in their cars with this tear gas, kids puking in their cars and everything. And it was just a fucking mess. And like they had no reason to shoot them off whatsoever. We weren't being violent. We weren't destroying anything. Nothing escalated until the cops got there and started basically trying to, you know, shut it down.
Wow.
And then they kept having some cop go over like their little PA system on top of one of the vehicles. You couldn't understand a word. It sounded like he was gargling dick while he was trying to talk to us. Like he's like, and I'm like, dude, this is not an episode of Charlie Brown. We don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the cops that were on the front line wouldn't even fucking talk to us.
Of course not.
Like, I mean, they aren't fucking English, you know, fucking Royal Guards, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm asking simple questions like, you know, what's the point of the tear gas? Why are you guys standing here with your fingers on your triggers? You know?
Yeah.
We aren't doing anything. you know?
It's so fucking wild. And like, it's hard for me, man. I grew up in a family full of law enforcement. So like when it comes to these sorts of things, it's difficult for me because I've seen both sides of the coin, and there's definitely an inherent, it's systemic racism, man. I've seen it. It definitely occurs within, unfortunately, a bunch of different, you know, law enforcement entities, and it has permeated its way through, and it's not gone away. And it's something that like I have a hard time with, because like I know a lot of people in my family are good people, but I also know that there's a side to that just gets shut down when they're in that line of profession. And I don't know if it's just being around, you're in that tight knit group that also thinks the same way, and so since you're part of that group, that then permeates your lifestyle. Or so it's like trying to think of all these different things. And but it's never ever okay to like, I know from my dad was a police academy instructor. He taught police how a lot of incoming officers how to handle certain situations. And I've been to a lot of training, and that's something you're never taught, is to kneel on somebody's neck for 9 fucking minutes. But by the same token, what I would say to people who aren't in the line of law enforcement, similar to how we don't understand, the plight of Black people in America, because we're not, you know, it's, I don't know that people who've never been police officers understand how hard it is to be one, and what that job entails a lot of the time, especially specific entities, like the more specialized agencies, within, the different, you know, again, law enforcement entities. But it's just, I can believe what's going on. It fucking breaks my heart, man. And on all levels, because it's something that you just, I don't know, man, like you guys, like, I mean, we've chatted over the internet, and like, this is the first time we're ever talking. It's just, I wish that more of this could happen, and just, you know, strangers be able to talk in this sort of way with one another. Like, I mean, I know we don't necessarily agree on everything, but even, you know, in us having these conversations, we understand it from a certain a standpoint where it's like, you know, we can only get so upset over something before it's just like, oh, fuck it, man. You like what you like. I like what I like. And we kind of go from there. We either agree to disagree, we move on, and we shake it out, hug it out or whatever, and get a couple drinks, or you can just not talk to us, you know, ever again. But it's just crazy to me, the cycle of violence that's gone on. And unfortunately, too, there's a lot of undercover police officers that have now been exposed, that are going through breaking windows because, again,
they're intentionally starting the riots to make them worse.
Systemic, because,
And the sad part is like them doing that makes it to where, like, so they're purposely trying to make it to where they can use more force for something that would have been relatively peaceful.
I saw a video on Instagram where somebody was recording just before everything happened, and he just happens to go by this building.
AutoZone?
No. Go by this building where there's just a pile of bricks stacked, purposely stacked, that wasn't there before. So, it's not good. Racism is apparent, and there are tons of great cops out there. My uncle was a cop. He's a great guy. I mean, he retired now. He doesn't do it anymore. But like, there are a ton of great cops that are being blamed for the bad parts of just a small few. But because those small few are being plastered everywhere on the internet, on TV, just being blown up in their face, we as a people just kind of blame everybody, every cop. And that's, we also need to get out of that mindset of not every cop is bad. Not every cop is good. Sure, that happens, but not every cop is bad.
But I think what the problem people are having now is that if you are a cop and you know a cop is a bad cop and you do nothing about that,
yeah,
that makes you a bad cop. Those three dudes that were standing around watching that dude choke a dude to death.
Yeah. No, it's
That right there, that makes those three bad cops. That also makes them implicit in murder. So, I mean, like, if I were to be standing here watching, you know, Jordan choke you to death and just like,
I mean, hopefully
that makes me an accessory.
I don't know what we could do. I don't know who I can call. I can call my aunt and uncle. They live in Pittsburgh. I don't know how well they can do anything, but
yeah. Hey, there you go. Look,
if he force chokes you, you just have to shut off the internet and you'll be fine.
There we go.
You'll be good to go.
All right, let's bring us back to some happy topics.
No, yeah, for sure.
Not that what we were saying isn't important. It is very important.
It's just heavy, man. It's heavy.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with the gravity in Pittsburgh?
You know, it looks really? Pretty good right now. Looks pretty good right now. Okay.
So I did find out that Tim from Suicide Squadcast or whatever the damn thing is called nowadays, he actually lives in Indiana. He lives just south of South Bend.
He does.
Which
yes.
is
just north of us.
Yeah, it's literally like an hour and a half away. I was talking to him the other day about that, and he apparently goes to Warsaw all the time. And I'm in Warsaw every once in a while. Maybe we can meet up sometime. So that's pretty cool. And just the fact all you guys see, are close.
The only problem with around. Jordan is that he's a whole Ohio away.
Yeah, and Chris is like five states away.
Yeah.
No, but see, five states would be okay because it's not going through Ohio.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Ohio isn't that bad.
Okay.
It's very bland.
Yes, that's the problem is it's boring. Like, you've got, like, these hot spots in Ohio, you know, like Cincinnati, the Columbus area, and stuff like that, and then the rest of it's like...
Yeah. Have fun listening to cicadas for a while, you know.
Yeah, when I was younger,
they even get bored and leave.
When I was younger, we used to drive to Pittsburgh to go visit family. It was a 6-hour drive, and yeah, it was boring.
5 hours of Ohio.
Yeah, literally.
Charity and I go to North Carolina to see her sister every now and then, and it's a 10-hour trip, and 5 hours of that is through Ohio.
Dude, when I was married.
Corner to corner, then if you're
basically
going
we're on the northeast side of Indiana.
I gotcha.
So we gotcha. When I was married, we would go visit my ex-wife's sister in Virginia. And I think 6 hours of it was just trying to get through. It was a 12-hour drive. 6 hours of it was trying to get through West Virginia. So yeah,
ding 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 ding.
It's interesting. We go through Ohio every now and again because Lizzie's family is from Detroit and my family is from Albany, New York. So my family is 7 hours east and Lizzie's family is 4 hours west. So and we spend about 2.5 hours of that going through Ohio. And it's very much you're just kind of sitting there, you know, driving. You're like,
oh, look,
not really like. Oh, there's a plant. Okay. There's another plant.
Good. Although I do have to say, back in 2000, I think it was 7 or 2008, my friend Moo came up from South Carolina. Somebody I'd met, me and my ex-wife had met over World of Warcraft, over the internet. She came up with her boyfriend at the time, and we were going to go to Cedar Point. Well, we're obviously driving through Ohio to get there. And, her boyfriend's like, pull over. And I'm like, you got to pee or something? He's like, no, just pull over. So we pull over. He found weed grown in a ditch. And he's like, I'm just going to grab this. I'm like, no, you're really fucking not. It's like, you know. And he just thought he was just going to, like, get out of the car, grab the fucking plant, and then, like, put it in my vehicle for this, you know, fucking 6-hour drive back and forth. And I'm like, hard pass, dude. If you want it, you can walk back home with it. But
for real? What the fuck, man?
Just weed growing randomly in Ohio, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, it grows in the dishes and stuff, like, you know, where people throw out their seeds and stuff when they're...
Oh, good point. I didn't think about that.
And you, I mean, obviously you can tell what it is once you see it, like, you know, it grows just like any other kind of plant does, you know, so...
Yeah. That's true. Good point. Never thought of that. Might have to drive through Ohio more often.
Good call.
This is the most boring weed trip ever.
Right? Holy smokes. No, bringing it back full circle. I think you have valid points when you come into the, I think Warner Brothers should have plotted things out. They should have just let, this is where I think what should have happened. I think Warner Brothers should have just, they should have said first and foremost, hey, look, Zack Snyder is going to come in. He's going to tell this 5-story arc and then he's going to be done. And whether we're going to see where we move things forward from there, because that's initially what was supposed to happen.
Yep. And so, I think if they would have done that, they probably would have ended up with a better story.
Oh, well, I think you would have gotten a similar story. I just don't think you would have gotten the nearly the interference that Warner Brothers had in that's where a lot of the problems come in, is that Marvel had great success in telling this gigantic story over all of these movies, whereas a lot of the DC fans didn't necessarily want that. We're like, Marvel has that. Let Marvel do that. Because that's just, they have that in the bag.
Yeah.
Let's do our own thing. So tell some of these singular stories. And then at the end, if you want to try and bring them together, if you have the story to do so, do it. But if not, don't worry about it. So they started with Man of Steel. And then they said that Batman was going to be the natural next, you know, introduction anyway. I don't think that was the case. I think they were doing Man of Steel to see where that was going to go and to see how that was received. And for the most part, like, I wouldn't say it's nearly as divisive as Batman v Superman, but there were people who couldn't get over the fact that it wasn't Christopher Reeve's Superman. And then there's people that were like, I've never watched a Christopher Reeve Superman, and, you know, this is my new Superman, and we're going to go forward with this story. And so they're like, okay, we have enough of this audience that likes Henry Cavill. Let's move this forward. But what I think where they failed in that was, I think BVS could have been a movie later. I think we could have got a second, a direct Superman only sequel to yeah. Man of Steel, where it shows him now being Superman for these 18 months that take place between the Black Zero event and where they pick up in BVS after the whole Black Zero event. And you could have shown Superman, you know, saving that boat of soldiers that he's dragging through the Arctic. You could have seen him saving this spaceship instead of just this montage mixed in with all the different news elements. Because I think that those are important because it shows what the actual world thinks of Superman at the time. You're just still not seeing Superman recognize this tragedy and then going to the tragedy, fixing everything while it's there, and then seeing how that plays out afterwards. You just see these little snippets here and there. So I think if they fleshed that out and then hopped in to Batman v Superman after that to see, now you saw how Superman dealt with it, now you see how the world deals with it, I think that people would have liked that a little better. And I also think that part of the problem with Batman v Superman, especially the theatrical cut, is it completely handicaps Superman's story. For the people that don't understand the full extent of his abilities and his powers, and understand the hatred that Lex Luthor has towards Superman, I don't know that, you know, because people are like, yeah, he's his villain. He doesn't like him. It's like, no, there's a big vitriol there that, like, makes it, I don't know. It's like when you're so mad at something, you can't find the right words. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, yes, you know what I mean? Lex is his villain. Why is he his villain? I want to see why he's Lex. You know, those two are always at odds. BVS does a decent job of telling that. The extended cut or the actual Ultimate Edition does a better job of telling that.
It does a way better job. Yeah, because you see the extended cut in Africa of what happens in Africa. You see, mm-hmm. you know, how all that was set up by Lex in order to sort of take down Superman, to get Batman to take down Superman. So mm-hmm. Lex's name isn't ruined in the process, but since he couldn't do it, he's like, well, screw this, I have the backup plan anyway. Which, like, when you think about it, you're like, man, well, if Batman succeeds in killing Superman, the world's fucked. Rude. Because Doomsday is on the way anyway. So it's like, all righty. But no, and then afterwards with Justice League, that was not even initially the story that Zack Snyder wanted to tell. And so it's nice now that he's going to be able to tell the full version of what he did. Because the theatrical cut is, he says there's maybe about 25% of what he shot that's in there, but it's not even tied to, like, it was so watered down. And then I think afterwards, they just gotten themselves in such a mess with the whole Justice League, Batman v Superman stuff that everything else suffered from it. So Suicide Squad got recut.
Well, Suicide Squad was before.
It was, but it was supposed to tie in. It was after CVS, before Justice League.
Yes.
It was supposed to tie in heavily to the story, original story Zach wanted to tell in Justice League. So when they scrapped that, they had to redo the entirety of Suicide Squad as well and say, okay, well, now we can't tie it to Steppenwolf. We have to tie it. We have to make something else happen. So let's do Enchantress. Let's have her be the big thing. And then they got themselves in such a bad place after Justice League came out that, like, people didn't want to see Superman anymore. They didn't want to see any of that. So then Ben was like, I'm leaving. This whole thing is just a fucking mess. But then Wonder Woman performed really well. So they were like, all right, well, we're keeping Gal Gadot. And then Aquaman performed really well. And they're like, all right, well, we're keeping Jason Momoa. And then they're just like, all right, where do we kind of go from here? Let's try this other character that's maybe a little more family friendly that general audiences will like. Let's do Shazam. And so they did Shazam. And that was, to be honest with you, man, I don't see people really complain about Shazam all that
much. I liked it. I thought it was funny. It was pretty good. And it had a good storyline to it. And it made sense to me.
Well, I enjoyed it a lot too, but it's not one of those movies that I go back and watch, similar to the movies like Man of Steel and BVS, that I go back and watch and find something new in every time. And maybe that's just because I haven't given it that much time. And also, like, it just, you know,
well, plus,
in doing all this shit, it's hard to sit down and watch all the movies.
Like, but also, within the last, year and a half, there's been such a movement for the Snyder Cut that kind of, you don't want to disregard, like, what came after. But at the same time, because that is still part of the universe, obviously. Yeah. Superman shows up with the Man of Steel suit at the end of Shazam, which allegedly Henry Cavill did film a scene with them showing his face. Hopefully we get that at some point in time. But
did you see what David Sandberg posted? He's like, I finally edited it. And so, like, it pans over to Superman at the end, and it's just elongated neck, and at the top, it's Henry Cavill's head. He's just plastered on it.
Oh, that
was hilarious.
The one I saw was, it was the suit and then Henry Cavill with the mustache on the face, just smiling down.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it's, I think you're right. They didn't want to handicap themselves in case the, you know, things got to a point where they would go back and possibly revisit it. But they just, they had no direction, where I think Marvel really succeeded, and they're like, no, we're taking this. And especially, you know, after the success of the Avengers in particular, and it was just like, okay, boom, we're going for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but see, the reason why Avengers worked so well is because, like you said, if they would have had another Superman and then let it into a Batman, and then, you know, like, been able to build it up, because that's what they did. You know, we had Iron Man 2, I think, Captain America, Thor,
Hulk, Incredible Hulk,
huh? Incredible Hulk, yeah. And then, you know, then they did, you know, the Avengers,
yep.
Right?
And it was and all those little parts of the stories, you know, worked their way into the bigger story. And they could have done that with DC, but instead they were like, oh, by the way, we got to rush everything. We got to get everything, you know, out. So I'm going to need you to do this, 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 this. Look, I understand it's going to fuck up your storyline. I don't care. Just do what I told you to, because I'm where the money comes from.
I think you definitely are right with part of that. I think even if, you know, we got, just like you said, a story that told more about, like, okay, this is the Batman that we're getting. Like, this is the sort of Batman that's here. Like, your movie is, even if it's just him dealing with, like, a crime in Gotham, but it also shows what led him to this point. So you see Jared Leto actually killed his Robin. You see that, like, all this other stuff that happened that has led him to this point. And because that was part of people, I mean, that was one of the things actually that was pretty universally praised, though, was Affleck's Batman, but just in how he acts, though. And, like, that's one thing I will say, like, to people, because people always argue the fucking killing point. And I'm like, okay, the killing point to me, they're like, it never gets addressed. And I'm like, well, it does get addressed. It gets addressed in the new rule speech. It's just, it's not like no killing. Basically, Alfred saying, instead of him saying, you know, new rules. And he's just like, no, we're like this. And it's like, no, well, what's led him to this point? And instead, it's just so very Zack Snyder, man, because Zack Snyder talks so much in philosophies that, like, I think and he likes the introspectiveness of the characters. And I think people just also expected something so totally different. And then what we got was just like, because even I walked out after the first viewing of the theatrical, I was like, damn, that was not the movie that I was expecting at all. I was like, same. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know it. Like, I thought it was going to be more, less to do with the media, more like Superman does something that affects Batman. Batman then tries to do something that then goes ahead and does Superman, that affects Superman. And they do, but it's mainly through the media in Zack's movie, whereas it's instead of them directly doing it to each other in a certain way.
The manipulation
brought it by Lex.
Yeah, the manipulation with Lex's, and it was planned out over the last 18 months.
Right. So. But I also understand the frustration of people like needing us to go through and explain this to them. Like, because there's a lot of people that are like, I don't understand. Like, when I sit down in the movie, like, I want the movie to tell me the story. I don't want to have to watch the movie five times to get the entirety of the story. Where I'm like, oh. And that's where I think personal preference comes into play big time. And that's where I think Marvel does a better job, because I think those movies have a rewatchability factor to them and they're able to tell the story that they're trying to tell. I will say certain movies have a rewatchability factor. Other movies, in my opinion, not necessarily so much.
I still haven't made it through Thor Dark World yet, so.
That's my whole reason with like the latest Star Wars movies. The last trilogy is fine, but the fact that you have to have all this supplemental material just to understand why Palpatine returned. What the fuck? Like, I don't get
Palpatine returns? Thanks, dickhead. I haven't watched him yet.
There's my finger. Oh, another thing. Another fun fact, maybe. People are bitching and complaining about Ben Affleck's Batman killing in BVS and so on. Christian Bale killed in Dark Knight. Michael Keaton killed in the original Batman. Like,
I only have one rule. No killing.
That I break all the time.
Already killed 10 people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's people, don't get me wrong, like, Batman's my superhero. He's one of my favorite superheroes. He doesn't kill in the comics. That's his rule. But that just doesn't translate into a movie you're setting in today's terms with today's, I'm not antics isn't the right word, just today's society. Like, you have to adjust and you have to grow with it. So yeah, his speech in BVS is perfect. Like, the people just don't understand that. And that's what upsets me.
I think the thing that Zach, he said it when he was doing his commentaries, there's consequences for all the actions that are taken in all of his movies, whether it's good or bad. So for example, Jimmy Olsen, that's really Jimmy Olsen. And he goes, if Jimmy Olsen was this investigative journalist, photographer / reporter, and he's going into this dangerous situation, like, yeah, he might work with the CIA. And in that case, like, if he gets exposed, what happens? Are they going to get lost every time? Or is somebody actually going to get shot in the head because there are these, you know, terrorist groups and while all this is going on? And so you're like, okay, that's a real life action. Batman blows up a vehicle with guys in it. It's not going to, he goes like, and Snyder even said, he's like, yeah, I'm going to pan over to the vehicle in the next shot. And all those, I should have just done that and showed all the guys fine. They're just a little burnt afterwards.
I love that part when he said that.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's funny. But no, there are real actions. So if Batman blows up a car, the guys who are in that car, they're not there anymore. Yeah. That's see you later. That's what happens when you shoot and you destroy a car with people in it. Those people are dead. And so I think it's just the people want to people will suspend disbelief when they want to suspend disbelief. And when they don't want to suspend disbelief, they don't. And I think, but again, I also think that's where it comes down to personal preferences. There's a lot more, and I'm not gonna say every DC movie is like this, but mainly with the Snyder films, it's something you have to you have to watch and you have to want to watch it. But if you, I totally get that there are people who have watched it and go, I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's totally fine. Like, I totally get it. And, but you know what? The thing is I've been able to sit down and have conversations with, like, you know, people like you guys. And that's led me to this point. Cause before, if we had had this conversation 3 years ago, it might not have been so cordial. that's just because I was frustrated. Cause I'm like, look, like, you guys, this is where I sat at the beginning of it. I'm like, you guys have your movies. Let me enjoy my fucking movies over here, right? Why do you guys shit on all my movies and the characters I enjoy the most?
Because I wanted to like the movie. I wanted to see this Batman versus Superman. Like, I wanted to see this fantastic, you know, like,
yeah,
battle of fucking titans, like, where they realize, you know, through a good story point that they aren't enemies. Eh? And then, you know, give us a bad guy that was, like, you know, already there and already, you know, as opposed to just, yeah, as opposed to just like, oh, by the way, this is going to happen. Fuck you guys.
So this might
be. And that's what killed me.
This might be a good time to say, Ron, that you'll have another opportunity to watch those movies with me, because starting here soon, I'm going to be going to add a new segment to the show. Called Rundown Review, I think is what I'm gonna call it, because I love my alliterations. And we're gonna
even
go,
though you can't say alliteration,
we're gonna go over comic book movies. So
it's awesome.
Hey, you know what? I will watch it. I'm still trying to get through the Justice League ones that you gave.
How far did you make it so far?
I made it through the Flashpoint.
That's it.
Yeah, well, okay, so this,
okay, how about
the storyline and Flashpoint just kind of,
how about this? Just watch Dark Side War, and then we'll do something with that, okay?
Okay. I mean, look, in my defense, like, I'm trying.
No. There's 14 movies. Like, I get it.
Well, that, and I really, really dislike the way that they drew the characters.
The animation style changes, like, immediately in the next film.
Okay, because, like, I mean, I get, you know, like, Superman's a buff guy, but, like, everybody shouldn't be walking around, like, you know, with fucking, like, and especially, like, characters like the Flash. Flash should not look buff. He should look fit. He should look like a runner,
yeah.
Meaning, you know, like, tight muscles, no ass, you know, a runner.
Now we can.
But he looks like a bodybuilder that decided to run one day.
Well,
I gotta make up for all the leg days I skipped.
We'll figure something out. Jordan,
I am working on it.
No, you're good. did you watch Dark Side War, right, Jordan?
Apocalypse War.
Apocalypse War. Sorry.
Yes. No, I watched it. It was holy shit, man.
Right?
Fuck.
Yeah. It. I hated that I had to wait and. You know, you had to wait until
the
19th, but that was like when everybody was live tweeting the stuff, like the watch party, and then they were just doing all that. I'm like, okay, I gotta get off Twitter. I can't see all this. I got spoiled by a couple pictures, but yeah, no, it's I'm trying to talk around it because Ron hasn't seen it yet.
Right. No, it's definitely,
that works too.
You get like. Yeah, you get like 10 minutes into it and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it
like,
was
holy shit.
It was great. Okay, so we are actually, this is gonna be our longest chitty chats. So
my apologies.
No, we're good. We got passionate there in the middle. Jordan, why don't you go ahead and give your podcast a shout out and tell everybody where they can find you.
So you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jordan Funky, mainly Twitter. Instagram, just I post pictures of basically it's like me and my fiance, and that's kind of just about it. But Twitter is definitely the best place for conversation. Love talking with everybody. That's how, you know, me and Joe met. So, you know, thank you guys for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. But if you guys want to listen to the show, it's DC Comics Squadcast, and you can find it on all different podcast mediums, wherever you get them. We try to published to all of them. And so if you are using one that you can't find it on, let us know and we'll get it up on there. But that's pretty much it. If you guys want to listen to any of the other shows, we have an entire network. It's called Squadcast Media Network. We have a bunch of different shows to talk about the movies, talk about TV, talk about the comic books. We have the Marvel Squadcast, which talks about things going on in the Marvel universe. And we have Fans Without Borders, which covers all things geekdom, Star Trek, Star Wars, Godzilla, all the other stuff, all the good stuff. So if you guys want to check out all that, just head on over to squadcastmedia.com and you guys can find out some more information there. But no, I greatly appreciate you gents having me on. It was a fun discussion. I'm looking forward to having more. Yeah. And you know, I don't hate you there, Ron, for loving the Marvel universe. I promise you, you know, it's again, I totally respect your,
you know, I don't actually hate DC. I just like to give Joey shit about it.
He does all the time. Hey, every chance he gets.
No, it's all good, man. I find that there's a lot of people in my life that tend to do the same thing. So I'm with Joey. I hear him on this one. But no, it's always good to sit down and have these kinds of conversations. It gives me a different perspective of where other people are coming from. Cause sometimes you just get so within that vacuum that like you don't ever think that what you say is wrong. And then you
well, especially talk to somebody when you have people behind you saying, yeah, you're right. You're right. Like me or Chris or basically almost everybody on the Squadcast. Like, yeah, when you surround yourself with the same people that agree with you, when you meet somebody who has a different view, it's like, wait, what? No, you're wrong. Wait, what?
Yeah. I've learned how to have nice, you know, conversations with people beforehand and learned how to actually debate. I hate using the word debate because debate seems a little
like, and here's my 46 reasons why you're an idiot and wrong.
I think that's exactly
here's all.
Yeah. This is a good place to stop it, I think. So
it was nice meeting you, Jordan.
It was nice. Have a good one, too, my man. All right, you too, guys.
I'll go ahead and stop this right now.